Prologue.
That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard of. Why in the world would anyone in their right mind ever do something like that? I was talking to my friend Andy, who had just competed in the Smoke and Fire 400-mile bikepacking race in Boise, Idaho. He was telling me that short races, like the Smoke and Fire, were just training rides for the ultimate goal of racing the Tour Divide, a 2,700-mile self-supported bikepacking race that follows the Continental Divide from Banff, Alberta, to the Mexican border at Antelope Wells, New Mexico. As Andy explained the race to me, my mind was filled with visions of racers pushing, dragging, or lifting pack-laden bikes over the knife-edge rocky ridges that define the Continental Divide through the Rocky Mountains. This seemed to me to be the ultimate in silliness, that is, until I was perusing Amazon a few days later and stumbled upon a little documentary called Ride the Divide. Watching this film, I began to understand the appeal of the Tour Divide and why racers like Andy could be so captivated by such a seemingly insane event. I watched the film, then watched it again and again, 3 times in 24 hours. A couple of days later, I made my wife Angie watch it. Every viewing built upon a longing inside of me that I never knew I had. I had ridden mountain bikes since 1988 and even did a little racing in the 1990s, but this was something completely different and new. I was intrigued, captivated, and although I didn't realize it, my life was about to be completely taken over by an obsession with bikepacking. The 10 months before the 2016 TD race were consumed with researching and purchasing the many bits and bobs that are required for a successful race. I compared reviews of everything from sleeping pads to tires, bike bags to eyewear, purchasing only what had the blessing of people like Neil Belchenko, Josh Cotto, Mike Hall, and a handful of other successful bikepacking racers. I even competed in the 2015 edition of the Smoke and Fire 400, you know, just to get my feet wet in the sport. I conducted my own product tests, sleeping in our backyard 3 to 4 nights each month, even throughout the winter, to arrive at the best combination of function and weight, trying to keep my kit as light as possible without significant sacrifice of performance. I rode my bike fully loaded over the steepest and roughest terrain in the Boise foothills, making sure my setup was solid enough for the Tour Divide. I was obsessed, but it is just that level of commitment that is required to even have the chance of completing a successful Tour Divide race. When he was 46 years old, my father rode his touring bike from Punta Gorda, Florida, to Portland, Oregon, solo. He was between hospital administration jobs and realized that this was the perfect time to fulfill his dream of riding a bike across the United States. With only modest training and a mid-level bicycle, he completed the 3,200-mile adventure in just over 30 days. At the time, I had no idea just how amazing this feat actually was. Solo bike touring, for all its rewards, is difficult, tedious, and lonely. Growing up, one of my most memorable times spent with my dad was on a bicycle when I was in the 8th grade. I was a mediocre BMX racer, but another type of cycling was starting to get my attention, bike touring. The idea of loading a bike with food, clothing, sleeping gear, and heading out onto the open road connected with me at some deep down level. A friend later described bike touring as the adult version of running away from home, and I think that describes the energy, the optimism, and the uncertainty of bikepacking as well. Early one morning in August of 1981, my dad and I set out from our home outside of Portland, bikes lightly loaded for a long day of cycling to the Oregon coast. Although I had the energy of youth on my side, I allowed my father to pull me most of the way through the string of small towns that adorn the road over the coast range and into the beach town of Lincoln City. Throughout the day, I struggled to climb over a seemingly endless sequence of hills, trying at times just to keep my father in sight as he steadily and smoothly flowed up and down with the undulating surface. Occasionally, I would see him waiting alongside the shoulder of the road ahead of me, holding out an energy bar, somehow knowing that I was digging deep into my reserves just to keep moving. The elation I felt when we finally approached the edge of town was like nothing I had experienced up to that point in my life. We had ridden 108 miles, more than I had ever dreamed I could ride in one day, and we had survived, more or less intact. As we pulled into the parking lot where we had arranged to meet my mom and officially end our epic day, I was spent. I tried to walk, but my wobbly legs threatened to betray me and buckle with every step. I leaned heavily on my handlebars and saddle as I moved toward the car to place my